Sorry, I'm just heading out with the mission team right afterwards, and I know Cheryl had a list of all the things that we're supposed to pack, and I'm just making sure I got toothpaste and sunscreen, deodorant, yeah, okay, and snack bar, oh yeah. Oh, mints, actually didn't have that on the list, but earplugs, I think I'm gonna need those, and first aid kit, yeah. Well, most of the things are there. Okay, now we can get on with the message here. Just before I do, I wonder if you noticed anything that was in common with all of those items. Hygiene. Barely close. Protection. And you're thinking the mints? Yeah, I'm protecting the others from bad breath there. Okay, I see where you're. There, you think about each of those. Now, I don't know whether you realize it or not, but we are human beings, are incredibly vulnerable creatures. Oh, there are times in our lives, especially when we are young, that we feel invincible. I remember the Beatles song. When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. But then things happen that shatter our illusion of security and self-sufficiency. Being bullied in school, physical injury, mental illness, debilitating anxiety, and the list can go on. You know, the Beatles song goes on to say, but now these days are gone. I'm not so self-assured. Now I find I've changed my mind and opened up the doors. Help me if you can. I'm feeling down. Help me get my feet back on the ground. Won't you please, please help me? You know, in response to our insecurities and vulnerabilities, we are offered various kinds of help, from protective devices for our heads to preventative medicine for our health. Many of them are good and helpful in part, but also insufficient. The people in the ancient world also had many experiences that gave them a new and renewed appreciation for their vulnerability, especially when they traveled. What they packed on their pilgrimage, especially three times a year, they were to go up to Jerusalem, what they packed was some songs, Psalms 120 to 134 called Songs of Ascent. That is, they would literally be geographically going up towards Jerusalem, and they would be more vulnerable than they had ever been. Well, instead of reading Psalm 121 this morning, we have a scripture memory club that has been working over the summer, and they're meeting after the service today to share. But one of them, Dorothy, if you could please come and recite for us Psalm 121.
I hope I can remember this, and so, but I've been saying it every night for last month. I lift my eyes up to the Lord. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. He will watch over you. The Lord will, hang on. The Lord will protect you from all harm. He watches over you. No, hang on. He watches over you. For the Lord is your shade both night. So the sun will not harm by day nor the moon by night. He will protect you from all, the Lord will protect you from all harm. He watches over your life. He watches over your comings and your goings, both now and forevermore. Psalm 121.
Just a couple.
Thank you. And it is 10 times as hard to stand up here at front and say it, as you know, yeah. Well, the original spiritual pilgrims needed travel assurance as they went up to Jerusalem. Traveling has a measure of insecurity about it because we are out of our comfort zones. We were talking about that yesterday as we were meeting as a small town mission team. You know, what if something happens on the way? What if I get sick? What if there's no cell phone coverage? Who can I turn to? One part of the journey to Jerusalem in that day was especially hazardous, if you can just put the slide up. You may recall in the Gospels, Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan. And they were on this journey to Jerusalem, and this is what it looked like. Lots of places for bandits to hide out and to be able to get you along the way. The journey from Jericho up to Jerusalem was a 25-kilometer trip with an ascent of nearly 1,200 meters. Like, the grouse grind is 850 meters, I think. So it's 1.5 grouse grinds going up in those 25 kilometers. Dangerous because of beasts and bandits and the beating sun. The question that was most uppermost in their minds as they set out was, where can I get the help and protection I need? And so Psalm 121 was a song, a prayer for this journey, but also for the journey of life. I lift up my eyes to the hills or mountains. You know, the mountains, when you see that, it's possible sources of danger, right? And we looked at some of the possible dangers in life. Those hills can also represent alternate deities because the peoples in the ancient world would build altars to the gods on the highest places. And so they probably would have even seen smoke going up from altars from pagan peoples who were seeking help in different gods. Now, we often seek it in money, the gods of power, the gods of technology. I remember watching the Dragon's Den. I watched that show early on when it came out. And if you've watched that, there was one of the most fierce dragons on there was Kevin O'Leary. And then they did a special on kind of the background of each of these dragons. And I'm going to show you a clip in a moment. The background that they gave for Kevin O'Leary when he was young and he was working at his first job. Let's see. Watch that.
Me here. I could buy this place today and bulldoze it if I wanted. I remember my very first job. It was at a place called Magoo Ice Cream Parlor in Ottawa, Canada. And it was incredibly traumatic for me, and it taught me a lesson that I've never forgotten. It ruled my life in business from that day on.
This is Magoo's Ice Cream Parlor. This was Magoo's Ice Cream Parlor.
It was my second day working there, and the owner had hired me to scoop ice cream.
It was right here. The counter was right here. And I was finishing work one day, and she said to me, get down on your knees and scrape the gum off the floor.
And she looked at me like a witch.
And I said, no.
And she said, you're fired. Get out of my ice cream store.
Right here. It happened right here.
I didn't even know what fired meant. But within minutes, I was on my bicycle on my way home in utter shame, in shock that she had that kind of control over my life. It was stunning and powerful. I have never, ever.
What?
She's still pissing you off.
I can't believe it.
Changed my life forever.
I have never, ever in my life worked for someone again. Ever. No one has ever had control over me. Ever. And never will. I can't believe I'm so emotional.
Yeah, sure. I'll put you over here.
I haven't thought about these things in years.
Wow. Kevin experienced vulnerability at a level he had never had before, and he spent a lifetime and continues to spend a lifetime protecting himself from the pain of being fired. I think self-help is the hill or deity in which he has set his hope. But the psalmist says, in looking around, but where does my help come from? That is the key question, not just for one journey, but the journey of life. It's the question that I have asked at critical times in my life, as I suspect you have. You know, he looked around. Maybe he looked within. And then looked up to the maker of heaven and earth, the one who made everything. What kind of help, what kind of watch, what kind of care does the Lord provide? Well, in verse 2b, it says, you know, he's the maker of the hills, the mountains, of heaven and earth. And in Hebrew, in the Semitic world, heaven and earth, that meant everything. Their word for universe was heaven and earth, and everything in between. And the point is what he can do, what he does in verses 3 to 8. First, in the verses 3 to 4, he kind of states it negatively in the sense of what he will not do. Okay? He will not fall asleep on the job. He won't. There's a story I came across of Bishop Quayle years ago. He was up in the middle of the night worrying. Anybody been there? And as he was up in the middle of the night worrying, he noticed that his Bible was open, and he went over to see, and it was open to Psalm 121. And those verses, you know, he knew them well, and they came. And he sensed the Lord saying to him, you know, I'm staying up all night, so you might as well get some sleep. Because he's not going to fall asleep on the job. And then he states what he can do positively in the following verses 5 to 8. What he will do is provide comprehensive protection. Now, I like to think of it maybe as a sunscreen. You know, I check the UV rating on it, right? Just make sure, because it's going to be hot there. Okay. Now, if God was sunscreen protection, what UV rating would you give him? 100. Be a lot higher than 15, right? More than 30. Well, in verses 6, there's kind of in bookends. In Hebrew, it literally says, by day the sun not smiting you, nor the moon by night. Talk about comprehensive coverage. And it also says in verse 7, he will protect you from all harm. It's the word evil as well in Hebrew. And he will protect your life. The nephesh in Hebrew, that is the core of one's being. The part of your being that can get totally spent and exhausted when you don't get enough sleep and or you've been stretched too thin. And when Psalm 23 says, he restores my soul, that is this very center of my being. And it says, he will guard who your core of your being. And your coming and your going now and forever. That is comprehensive coverage, isn't it? You know, and my car insurance is coming up due, and you always want to know, do you sure you got enough insurance on there to cover all of the different coverages? And these verses, the psalmist makes three simple but highly significant points. God perfectly perceives, that is, he watches over in a guarding, protective kind of way. And that leads to he perceives, he sees all, he protects comprehensively, and he preserves us. It's really unbelievable, isn't it? I mean, perhaps you're wondering, is this psalm promising too much? Does God promise to protect us from all illness, from heartbreak, from failure, from anxiety, from death? Sometimes we think he should. But what would it be like if he did? You know, you have helicopter parents. I don't know what the new name for them is, but, you know, hover over their kids to make sure to keep them from everything, all harm. And they find that if, you know, kids, you're cleaning everything right from young. No, nothing dirty can ever go in their mouth. And then they don't build up the antibodies that they need for later on in life. Kids who grew up in a sterile, overprotective environment never develop resilience or perseverance or patience. And even more importantly, if he just like instant answer kept us from everything, we would never get to know God firsthand. We would never know what God's protective power in a storm is like. We would never know His sustaining power when it feels like anxiety is overwhelming us. We would never know his healing power to fix things that seem so broken in us that we thought they could never be fixed. And we would never know his restorative power. Remember the gospel story. Lazarus, why did you let him die? And yet, if he had not, they would never have known when he said, I am the resurrection and the life. They would have never known that's true. Like, that's really what he is able to do, the Lord of life. So how do our kids learn if and how they can trust us as they're growing up? You know how they learn? By experiencing their vulnerabilities and by asking for help. Ours, others, and God's help along the way. So what is being promised here in this traveler's prayer? What is being promised is the gift of divine presence and help in this life. He watches over, he keeps. That word in Hebrew is comprehensive, but notice how often watch over, keep. It's used verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, verse 7, verse 8. It is underlining there is never an oops moment. Never an insurmountable problem or threat. Unforeseen problems. You ever have those? They're only unforeseen from our perspective. They are never unforeseen. And God has this ability for unforeseen problems that he is able to provide with unforeseen provisions. Remember the Israelites in the wilderness? Man, were they vulnerable? Never been in that place before. We're going to die out here. And what does it say? It says they experienced something that no one in any other generation had ever experienced. They ate, it says, the bread of heaven. They drank water from a rock. Nobody had ever seen these things before. God was showing them, I'm that rock of refuge and also your provider. I am with you. And his divine assurance is the travel assurance that we need, not only on a trip, but also for this life. I was visiting, and she just ventured out on her own road trip by herself this time and had gone hundreds and hundreds of kilometers already. And she was setting out to the next day. And at a restaurant, she noticed, there was something like a verse or something written on one of the owners there. And as she was having breakfast, another, must have been the owner's wife, came up to her, saw her there, and she said, the Lord sees you. And she thought, well, thank you. I'm a believer too. I know the Lord sees me. But she didn't know in the course of that day when a red light went on in her vehicle, and she thought, I have no clue what that is, and pulled over and got help. And they sent her half a kilometer back to a fully functional shop that put the scope on and did some things and sent her on her way. And by the end of the day, she realized that was a promise given to me at the beginning of my day so that I would know in a new and special way he is watching me. It's for me. God had wanted her to know, I think, that she had the ultimate travel assurance. Well, Psalm 120 reminds us that it is not the amount of vulnerability that we experience in the journey of life, but the comprehensiveness of the travel assurance of our divine provider. As Dr. David Jeremiah notes, the confidence expressed in Psalm 121 is rooted in the grandeur of the psalmist's vision of God, the maker of heaven and earth, the Lord who can be trusted at every point along the journey. And the safest place to be is in the center of God's will, like the Israelites in the wilderness, relying and living on miracles every day. The great 17th century evangelist George Whitefield said, "We are immortal until our work is done." And then he added, "The servant of Christ does not fear death because his times are in the Lord's hands. Until obedience is complete, no power can cut short the work of God. God has appointed. And when the task is finished, departure is not lost, but obedience fulfilled. Well done, good and faithful servant. Don't let your failures, like Kevin O'Leary's, your vulnerabilities or your limits keep you from going where God is calling you to go, doing what God is calling you to do. But we need to ask, we need to trust, and we need to risk. We need to risk out in order to experience the power of His divine presence and promises. It's like going into the sun. You got to put on the sunscreen, right? You got to put on the promises and armor of God. I'd like to invite the worship team up, and as they are coming up, I invite you to pray. Last week, I invited you to pray with your hands out, surrender posture, and receiving. I'd like you to venture out to pray with hands up today. Look up, pray with your hands up, surrender to God, you know, because Jewish people, that's how they didn't pray like this. They prayed looking up to heaven, to God. Let us pray. Oh, gracious Lord, maker of heaven and earth, we thank you that by your grace, you have given us the travel assurance that we need, which is nothing less than your very presence to go with us. You who are able to move heaven and earth to provide for your people. You who send message to a widow going on her first journey, I see you. Lord, may we surrender anew all of our vulnerabilities to you and to know that you, Lord, are the best one to provide for us. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.